Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepard.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello, my friends. How are you? On this Hump Day Wednesday, we are live and local for the next 4 hours from 2 to 6 right here on 99.3 ESPN. I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard. Glad to have you along. So we got a big college basketball game tonight. We shall discuss. In fact, Joe Nardone will join us to talk some college hoops in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some baseball later on. I believe is today the day we have some tickets to give away for Friday's Red Sox-Northeastern game. We'll have that later on today. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow me on Twitter at CraigESPN. You can follow Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook Live as well. We're always out there. More and more people are finding that each and every day. So we're looking forward to that. Pete Shepard, how are you, sir?
Well, you know, last night, as we were playing poker, it was an inspiring game up above us on ESPN2. I thought I was watching Hickory versus Central Catholic in the championship game of Hoosiers. But it turns out it was the Indiana Hoosiers and the Purdue Boilermakers with a not-so-instant classic, which in the end, although I think the same score, although Jimmy Chitwood was not there. Jimmy Chitwood was not there to take the last shot.
No, Romeo Langford was.
Langford was and bricked it short at the end, a long three, as Purdue escapes with a 48-46 win at Assembly Hall. Of thousands of
first of all
disheartened fans.
It wasn't Langford that hit that took the last shot. He was supposed to. The Hoosiers can't get out of their own way in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game.
Yeah, well, this sounds very much like Norman Dale, where Jim, we're going to use you as a decoy. Merle, going to get to Merle swinging around the picket fence. He's going to take the last shot, and then they all stand up and are in disbelief, and Coach Dale says, "What's the matter with you guys?" Dead son. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
And then Jimmy says, I'll make it. Yeah. Well, there's no one on your Hoosier team last night that stepped up and said, I'll make it.
You need to find
a Jimmy Chitwood.
Right. No, we need to find a new coach, first of all.
Norman Dale?
Let me tell you. I turned around to you with a couple minutes left in the game while we were playing poker.
You did.
And I said, this is how every single game has gone for the last 15 games. It's low and ugly because nobody could score, but miraculously we're in it every time, down to the wire, and we just don't know what to do in the last 2 minutes of the game. Sure enough, I mean, nobody can hit the broadside of a bar. Purdue's best scorer last night missed 20 shots. I don't think it was a great defense. I just think it was one of those nights of just bad, ugly basketball. But we get down to the final 90 seconds, and the Hoosiers don't know what to do. Langford's making stupid passes.
Turnovers.
I see a guy turning the ball over to nobody.
I saw a high post screen, and he basically, it was almost like a quarterback handing off to a running back. Here comes your player up on a high post screen. I think it was your guard. And whoever the Purdue player was, excuse me, I said a high post screen at the top of the free throw line. And your guy just said, I can't really get around just so take it.
And then
after I give it to you, I'll foul you anyway.
Yeah.
This is like with 28 seconds to go.
There was another guy driving right side, drives baseline, and just falls down out of bounds. Nobody touched him.
Your point guard smashed his head two or three times last night. I thought he was dead.
I thought Langford dislocated his shoulder on one fall.
He dislocated his shoulder. He smashed his face into the floor.
Yeah, it can happen.
Anyway.
Just total chaos and disorganization in the last 2 minutes. And this has happened, 13 games in a row? I think they've lost 11 of the last 12.
Then Matt Harms, though.
Oh, that big stiff.
That big,
big 7'3" stiff.
Bigfoot. I thought your guy tipped it in at first, or helped tip it in. But you were right. It actually, instead of him, if he got a fingernail on the ball or a hangnail, it might have deflected it. But no. your guy sticks his hands up in front of the big 7'3" guy, Harms, and the ball went through his hands.
No, you know what? He did the right thing. He blocked out. He had both hands ready to get the ball.
Ball went right
but
through.
But behind him was 7'3" Sasquatch who tipped it in off the glass for the winning basket for the stupid Boilermakers.
I still think your guy got a finger
he
on
did.
It.
He did. Look at the rear view.
I did.
The camera shot
at
for the baseline.
I'm not entirely convinced.
He came up with it.
Either way, your guy had position and failed.
However, this was not the worst last-second defeat of the night. At poker night last night.
Now, this was unbelievable. You're sitting a couple tables away. So initially, I hear, a high hand. Now, during out of season, it's usually you have to wait 50 minutes. You're playing poker, whether tournament or cash game. Mm-hmm. It's the high hand, and if your hand holds up, and usually it has to be a full house or better, then you get a couple $200-$300, whatever they want.
Yeah.
Our tournament last night in the high hand, if you got it, you get an extra $300. Craig gets quad.
Damn.
Any quads is amazing. So Craig gets quad twos with a jack kicker. It only has to be a half hour now, not even 50 minutes, only 30 minutes in season.
Yeah, yeah.
Is 90 seconds to go. I'm like, oh.
I'm no. counting the cash.
I'm watching the clock
no.
to my left countdown.
My wife bought a new dishwasher this week. I'm counting the cash. I needed it. I
89
needed it
bad. Seconds to go. He gets beat in the high hand by somebody in the tournament. Was it even at your table?
No.
It wasn't at your table.
No.
Next table over.
But first of all, repeat what I had.
You had quad twos with a jack kicker.
Okay.
Not only does he lose, the other person gets quad twos with a can kicker. You don't even lose, like, at least lose to quad aces or a straight flush. Or even quad threes. No, this is quad twos with a king kicker.
The same hand. It was the kicker.
Kicked right in the gonads.
Yep.
I mean, that is just.
It's not like a jack kicker's like, anything.
Any kicker.
Any quad
first of all,
twos
any kicker on quads is fine with me.
I know.
I mean, but my God, what a bad beat that was.
Put out your hand. Imagine $300 cash in your hand. And then imagine your hand empty because, I would have bought lunch today. I would have rolled it here.
That's your first real bad beat.
Yeah.
Really
that
bad.
That was a SVP
and that was
bad
more,
beat.
And that wasn't even a tournament bad. That's a high hand bet. That's bad enough, though.
Yeah.
That was about.
Now you're a poker player.
Yeah.
You did well last night. You lasted pretty long last night.
Yeah, I did. I did. I got home late last night.
I think it was a Paula Naples night.
So how'd you do, by the way?
I finished 17th. I made first time. In 2 years, I thought I made a. I messed up. I didn't. I messed up at the end.
What happened?
I won the last hand. That's a lot. It's just I should have called. Someone's all in, and I knew he only had ace high, but the board had paired, and there were low cards on the board, and I had pocket threes, and I was under the gun raise. He called me anyway. Three sets of betting, and it was a bad move on me. I ended up being. I hate the term pot committed, but at that point, I should have just. Throw in the rest of the 10,000 I had, and I should have I would have won the hand. Instead, I didn't, and he turned over an ace, and that was ace high, and my pocket threes would have held up. And
all right, so
I would have at least. I think I would have cashed. I would have made it difficult because we got 90 people last night. It was great.
It was a great turnout.
The whole final table cashed.
Thank you for everybody. That
yeah,
that showed
thanks
up.
Everybody. We had a lot. It was fun. It was
all
a
right,
lot of fun.
So you made a mistake. I had a tense night.
I
had $300 gone before I won it, and the Hoosiers lose on a tip in with 3.6. Chris, how was your evening last night?
It's great. It's fantastic.
No stress?
Yeah. I mean, it was. What did I do last night? Watched the tip in.
That's what we're going to refer to it.
My standard Tuesday night, I watched The Bachelorette.
Okay.
Or The Bachelor. Sorry, The Bachelor.
Still a virgin?
I got something on that.
Yeah. Still a virgin.
Challenge.
And then now we are going to watch in the studio reruns of Duke North Carolina games.
Over NFL Live? Really?
Yes, over NFL Live. It's not
fun. Oh, Grant Hill. Here we go.
Oh, this is 92.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dean Smith, Coach K. I'm pumped for tonight. Pumped.
This is good.
That's going to be a great game.
I'm actually pumped for this game tonight myself.
I always am.
Going
no
over to
what.
A buddy's house. We got like five guys that are going to stand. You know what?
Any Duke guys?
Nope. Because those kinds aren't allowed.
Yeah.
Those people.
You're an anti-Dukeite.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Now, back to The Bachelor for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And God forgive me for bringing this up because I never watched this. So
either.
It's on Monday nights, right? And
yes,
you tape it?
And we tape it so we're able to, like,
Take your time with it.
No kids. We fast forward through like the mushy parts, and then we're able to watch the drama.
Okay,
which is fun.
So my wife and I on Monday are flipping through the channels, and we come across. But keep in mind, we don't watch The Bachelor,
right?
But my wife was intrigued because she tuned in. It was near the end. There was a there were two lovely ladies at the table, and one of them was gonna, you know, get the brush off, and one was gonna get the rose.
It was a high stakes moment. Yeah.
So my wife pauses and starts watching. Like I said, she never watches this.
I believe it was Kerpa who got voted out last night.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know their names.
Who? Kaepernick?
Kerpa.
Kerpa. Oh. And before she changed the channel, I whispered her, I go, "Hey, you know that dude's the big V. The virgin."
Right. Right.
Challenge.
She goes, "How do you know this?" I said, "First of all, sweetheart,
right,
I've got my finger on the pulse of pop culture of the nation."
She knows.
Of course
she knows. She could even see it through the TV. Thank you, Missy, for agreeing with me. And because women have that instinct. You could just look. He's not virgin. Come on.
No, we didn't have that asinine conversation that you
had.
No, no.
She
rolls
knows.
With it. No, no.
Yeah, she knows.
Not at all.
You're
taking this train down the wrong track here.
I'm trying to.
So she's just more amazed that I know anything about this.
What'd you think?
Show. I said, "Well, Chris has filled me in on all this. This is how it's going down, so we might as well hang and see which chick he picks." And by the way, I knew he was going to go with the blonde chick right away.
Was it finale? Was it the
No.
This was to get to the Final Four.
We're getting close.
This is Elite Eight down to Final Four.
Right, we're getting close.
We're in the regionals.
He's got to go meet the families next.
Next week is the family trip. That's a big week in the Bachelor, Bachelorette world.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be there or not,
but at least
I'm up to speed, like, bam, that fast. So.
Yeah, it's...
But I could tell the blonde chick, genuinely, I could read her eyes. I read people.
Right.
The blonde chick seriously liked this dude. The brown-haired girl that got the boo.
Nope, we got...
I thought she had some secret agenda. So I didn't like her vibe.
You got played, Craig. That's
like,
what happened.
Like
you
she
got
was
played.
All mopey face, like she knew better what this man needs.
No, so you can't just drop in. You can't. You did this with Game of Thrones as well, Craig. You jumped to season 7, episode 1, and you have no common point of reference on any of this stuff.
Right.
So the last like 3 weeks, every girl that's gone home has told The Bachelor, like, "Listen, these two chicks, they're not here for real love. They're here to get, like, out in this bachelor, bachelorette fraternity where they party with one another. They're in it for the fame."
Right.
That blonde girl, one of the girls who's been accused of being in it for the fame.
You think so?
Yeah. And you know what?
What?
He's blinded by her beauty because she's gorgeous.
She is.
She's a hard 10.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, firm.
Firm.
Right. So he has heard, like, five girls say, "Listen, she's got ill intentions with you."
Yeah.
"She doesn't care about you. She cares about getting her name out there and becoming famous. And getting maybe being the Bachelorette or going Bachelor on Paradise or something like that." So he's getting played by her, but I hope my wife's not allowed. I'd be played by her.
Chris, you need to look in her eyes, man. You can read people.
I did. She was caught last night.
I'm really good.
The problem is
reading people's
eyes.
It's
such a nice hue of blue that her eyes are.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Maybe
you can't say no to
maybe
that.
I was duped for just joining in. I'm sorry, but
there's a hue.
I think she really likes him.
It's much more a Carolina blue than it is
it
a Duke
really
blue.
It really is. It really is. Carolina
is
blue eyes.
Absolutely the most pathetic conversation in the history of this
show. What sports do you want us to talk about today, Pete? Please.
And by the way, this is how I feel.
You think he's a virgin. You can't get past
this
that.
This is how I feel when you two start going into Game of Thrones. I have no idea what you're talking about. Now, but now Chris and I are having a moment. Moment here.
Yeah,
and,
talking about
so
Bachelor.
You're left out. I'm sorry.
I can appreciate it. I don't want to be left out. I just know the guy's not a virgin. Stupid.
Cherokee
I'm
Parks
virgin.
Freshman.
What a dork.
Oh, man. We're watching Duke, North Carolina from 92. Cherokee Parks, Grant Hill, Christian Leitner.
Who can forget his great years with the Timberwolves?
Is this Greg
right?
Ostertag? I think it is.
By the way, there was a sideline shot a moment ago of Dean Smith and Mike Krzyzewski. Mike Krzyzewski looks exactly the way the you know he's dying his hair, right?
But no.
No, dude's
70 years old.
No
he's got jet black hair.
No one here might be natural.
No, he's dying it.
239 says the beauty queen and the blonde are as fake as can be. I agree with 239. I agree.
What percentage of our mostly male audience do you think is up to speed on The Bachelor? And had any
5%.
And had any idea what we were just talking about?
239 says there's a girl on the show that says she's never had a kiss. Are you serious?
I think that that was a little lie that she was kind of just throwing out there and it caught.
Kind of like I'm a virgin.
Right, 239, generation of one-uppers. That's what it is. She found out that she was on The Bachelor when The Bachelor's a virgin, so she says, you know what? I got to become the chase. Yeah. I'm not the chasee.
Yeah.
I'm not the chaser. I'm the chasee.
Yeah.
So she throws out there, never been kissed. That's out the window.
Yeah. One-upper.
That is just, first of all, it's just not believable.
Never been kissed? I completely agree. Not believable.
And I agree with that.
And his age... What that guy's done, that what you've said, I don't even know what he looks like, but. There's DNA out there somewhere.
He's a good looking dude. I'll come out and say it.
Sure.
He's a good looking guy.
I was going to let you say it first, but yeah. He's
like
all right.
Football at UCF.
Yeah.
Like he's built.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Strong frame.
Good jawline.
Good hair.
High set cheekbones.
All right,
I guess we're talking Steelers today, huh?
On that note, the Steelers will not transition tag Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, what a shock.
Which he I'm is upset a free agent. About that.
I wanted the drama to continue. I really did.
Oh, there's plenty of drama there.
Yeah?
There's plenty of drama without Le'Veon Bell.
When they come out and say, we're not taking a discount on AB.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
What's
fair value for a 31-year-old receiver that's still, 15 touchdowns last year, put up 1,300 yards? He's the only player in NFL history to have over 1,000 yards six consecutive seasons.
Let's do the math on that real quick, all right? Production-wise, it's got to be a first-rounder, like the Amari Cooper deal, all right?
Right.
Production-wise, it's first.
But he's 31.
But he's
Amari Cooper
he's 31.
Is 26 sure. at the time.
So he's 31, and he's damaged goods because he's a pain in the ass, right? So, I mean, all the talk that they wouldn't get a six-rounder for him, but they're not going to take a six-rounder for him because they got first-round talent. So is it somewhere in between? Does he go for a third round pick?
I think it's the worst case is a third round pick. I mean, they're not getting any, otherwise he's staying. Again, here's Kevin Colbert's quote. We're all disappointed. We're at this point. How things transpired, we're all disappointed. Respectfully, we did agree that looking into a trade would probably be the best course of action for both sides. By no means are we going to make a trade or any type of move that will not be beneficial to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. We will not be discounting you on the trade market, and we will not release you. They are not going to give this guy up for a hill of beans. They're going to sit there, and maybe somebody comes away with a third-round pick. I seriously, right now, why would you? Mm-hmm. Why would you? And why would the Steelers entertain any offer ever for anything less than that? Otherwise, Antonio, you're going to sit there, like we said yesterday, and if you don't report, then you don't report, you don't get paid. The Steelers are not caving here. They're not just going to say, hey, here's a fifth or sixth round pick, take him off our hands, we're tired of the drama.
They might have to because, between the three of us, okay, do we think there's going to be one team that's interested in Antonio Brown, the best receiver in the league?
I think a lot of teams will be interested. Well, my question what are they willing to offer?
But here's the deal. Here's my question. If there's two teams out of the 32, then you get into a bidding war, and then that draft pick gets better and better that they're going to trade for him. So I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know how quickly this is going to transpire.
I don't think it's going to be quickly at all. I think we're going to be talking about this in the summer. I think we're going to be talking about him missing OTAs. I think we're going to be talking about him right up into training camp when he doesn't show up.
Did you guys hear Yates steal my idea where Antonio Brown's going to land?
No.
What was your idea? It was a straight ripoff from me.
From yesterday?
I got to text Field and tell him to stop listening to our show if he's not going to credit me properly.
Refresh my memory from yesterday because I have Alzheimer's, I think. I can't remember what I had
didn't
from
say
breakfast.
Yesterday. Said it a week ago.
Okay.
Maybe a little longer.
All right.
The Green Bay Packers.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Field's stealing that now,
he's
huh?
stealing he's it. Yeah, it's bandwagon. All over the network now. My idea from 10 days ago, Field listens to us. I know he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he's on TV right now.
It's recorded, Pete. That's not live.
He's downloading the podcast on 99.3ESPN.com.
NFL Live is not live.
Actually, that show is, but yeah.
All right, yeah, okay. I can get behind that a little bit. I think that's very interesting, no doubt about it. All right. Believe it or not, we have plenty to talk about. We'll get more into this.
And Le'Veon Bell, you're talking about the now that he can do whatever he wants, basically. You're talking Jets, Houston. The Buccaneers still are intriguing, I think, are in it. Baltimore, Indy, Oakland, those teams.
I'm circling the Colts on that one.
Let's go Heels.
If he's going to have Antonio Brown going to Green Bay, I'm drawing my line in the sand. I say Le'Veon Bell is a Colt. They're all in. They can afford it and have room to spare. And they need it. They're ahead of their window and they're ready to go. So anyway, we'll continue to discuss that. We'll get into some more NFL news. Apparently Todd Gurley was hurt more than everybody thought, or we all thought. Now they're admitting it.
No. We all thought he was hurt.
Yeah. Chris is cheering during this North Carolina Duke game replay from 1992.
Craig, I don't remember it.
Like it's tonight.
I was one.
You were one.
I was 25.
I was still living in Indiana when this game was
played. Oh, wait, 92?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was one. Yeah. About 16 months.
I believe this Duke team went on to play Indiana in the Elite Eight.
Who won?
In 92.
Was that Leitner?
Yeah, that's Christian Leitner.
Gosh.
Well, that isn't, but yeah, Leitner's on this team. All right, we'll continue to watch out. We got Duke, North Carolina tonight. Oh.
Disgusting.
And just when you thought everything was smooth. Oh, Montrose, he should have been a Hoosier. God, this is bad memories. Is this the game he bleeds?
Oh, yeah. Already. Look at that. That's already happened.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was at the Tyler Hansbrough bloody game.
Were you?
Where Gerald Henderson gave him the forearm shiver to the face.
Yeah.
Never liked that guy.
No? Why?
Gerald Henderson.
Oh, Henderson.
Loved him. Loved his dad.
All right, so
greatest steals in NBA history in the finals.
Dad was better.
When we come back, just when you thought everything was smooth in the AAF, the Apollos have Steve Spurrier's got some work to do. I'll tell you what that's all about when we come back. Plus Sound Street. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on a Wednesday on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Also, check us out on Facebook Live. Coming up later on, tickets, preseason opener, Red Sox Northeastern, Friday's game. Stay tuned. We'll have all that tech coming up. Joe Nardone joins us from College Basketball Today. Meanwhile, Chris is getting ready to watch his beloved Tar Heels against Duke tonight. Well, I'll be watching, but he's getting ready by making us watch like every Duke versus North Carolina game, instant classic, nonstop.
Well, ESPN has been doing this for 3 days.
Well, there's a lot of classics to get to.
Yeah.
These teams, I think, are like 42 and 41 while they're ranked or something.
52 and 51, I think the points
it's like 2 points apart.
Yeah,
like,
the stats are just unbelievable. They've played 103 times since the 1967-77 season. Duke holds a 3-point advantage over 103 games. The Tar Heels are 52 and 51. The stats are just, they're unbelievable.
That's incredible. And that stat never changes. I mean, I've
been... it's been that way for a decade now.
Yeah.
Where these teams are always nip and tuck. If somebody wins by eight tonight, it'll go the other way.
Right.
When they play in 2.5 weeks in Chapel Hill. Major conference rankings this season: points per game, Carolina's first, Duke is second. The pace of play: Carolina's first, Duke is fourth. Transition points per game: 1 and 2. Second chance points per game: 1 and 2. Paint points per game: 1 and 7. It's unbelievable.
They seem like they're on a collision course to play 4 times this year, don't they?
Never happened.
Yeah,
they've never played in the NCAA tournament. Not once. They've been to the same Final Four one time.
All right.
It's funny because Val
is it 92.
Might have been.
It might have been 92, actually, maybe. This year.
Maybe. The one we're watching on TV.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's funny when Val Vano's magical season in 82 with the cardiac hits of NC State, they played Virginia 4 times.
Yeah.
They imagine they played them twice in regular season, played them in the championship game in the ACC, and then played them again in the Final Four.
It's
amazing.
It's one of those games, Carolina. I'm a big Tar Heel fan, so obviously I have a rooting interest in it, but it's Michigan-Ohio State but more competitive for college basketball. It's Red Sox Yankees, where it's always two of the three or four best teams in the sports. It's just it's up there with the best rivalry in sports.
It's funny, the Red Sox and Yankees and Duke, North Carolina, the numbers are almost, it's the same type of thing.
Right.
Like, they were like run scored is nearly identical in the history. It's crazy.
239 has just sent us something on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line back to our big
nice
game celebration with food. Craig, I found some corn you'd finally appreciate at a sports-related party. This stems back to our argument slash conversation about whether corn is a main food that you have like for a Super Bowl party. But this...
No, that's a made-up stat that you just said.
No, I think I think it's factual.
What I said was if you're having a party that involves a Los Angeles team, you might think of having a dish about street corn. That's what it is.
No. Your story changes every day.
On the Husk. And no, it is.
You started out by talking about corn on the cob. It was the top three thing to have at a Super Bowl party.
No,
Chris, back
I
me
said,
up on
but they played a Los Angeles team. That's the only reason why
no,
it came
you
up.
Morphed into that two
no,
hours into the stupid
morph
argument.
I into it. I said, if you're doing a theme with New England and Los Angeles, that, I mean, there's no reason, and I was proven right, and this looks like a great recipe.
Well, this guy sent in some bacon-wrapped corn, but Chris, you got to back me up on this, how his story is morphing on the corn.
You know what? Is not morphing.
If you guys look at the, is that the bottom picture? The middle picture, you can see some jalapenos under the bacon.
Absolutely.
But on top of the corn.
It's fantastic.
Nice little kick.
Yeah, that looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks really good. I got to be honest with you guys, I don't really remember the depth of that conversation.
Come on, man. Was it a date? You know what?
I was here.
Were you here those two days?
I was here.
Okay. Because I know you went to Disney or something, right?
It was a ridiculous conversation.
Well, it lasted. Okay.
It lasted an entire show.
Oh. Let me tell you this, program director. We started that conversation on Wednesday. Then you were gone Thursday and Friday for the Super Bowl. Our conversation continued for 3 days.
Then we got pictures. Then we got private messages on Facebook.
I saw the Facebook video
from families.
The kids eating the Mexican street corn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that was funny.
Fantastic.
All right, 239-337 ESPN is the number, and I'll sorry, Stony Brook Golf Club text line if you wish to participate in the show. All right, let's see. What else do we need to take care of? The Apollos of the AAF, as we all know, they just had a $250 million infusion to keep the league going by the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes of the NHL.
Chairman.
So we thought, well, now he's the chairman of the league, but was he the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, or is he also the chairman? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right, that's what I said.
Now he's the chairman of the AAF.
Right. Well, you should be if you give $250 million. You should be chairman, president, anything else you want to be. So they dodged that bullet. Then we find out that the Apollos of Orlando, who seem to be one of the teams that have their act together, right?
Yeah, they're America's team.
Pete, would you like to tell our audience why they have to practice every day in Georgia?
That starting this week, or at the beginning of March, Charlie Ebersol says, we really need to make sure we take the necessary steps to take care of our players. Our responsibility is always to do what we must do to make sure our players have the best available coverage. Why did he say that? Starting sometime next week, Apollos, according to team officials, will be housed in a hotel in Jacksonville for a little more than a month while busing 30 minutes over the border to practice at a high school in Kingsland, Georgia. They will still play their home games in Orlando at UCF Spectrum Stadium. AAF officials say the reason this is even an issue is because Florida, unlike many other states, will not cover professional athletes under workman's comp laws. So in Florida, pro athletes are not categorized as employees, which means state law prevents pro athletes from filing workman's comp claims for injuries incurred while on the job.
All right, I have numerous questions. Number one, they still play their games in the state of Florida, so how's that different?
Okay,
number two, what are the Buccaneers and the Orlando Magic?
I have the answer
for
you.
I'll shut up.
It's a legitimate question. According to AAF officials, other more established pro leagues who have teams in the state, such as the NFL, NHL, NBA, and MLB, have all managed to find insurance companies that will insure their entire league. The AAF, because it's a startup league, in the perilously dangerous sport of football has been unable to locate a company. I'm reading off the Orlando Sentinel, by the way. Unable to locate a company that will ensure all eight teams in the league moving forward. The league hopes to identify and contact such a company so the Apollos can train full-time in Orlando. So I say to you, Southwest Florida, or Central Florida, if you want an insurance company, you'd like to be a big sponsor of the AAF, they need you. Otherwise, your team practicing in Georgia.
How about during the games? What, the Apollo's home game? They have four home games. Will you get injured?
Five home games.
Five home games.
It says, let's see, the insurance market covering both pro football and startup companies is limited, explained Alliance Head of Player Relations David Cohen. Established sports organizations have a long-standing relationship with carriers. We are continuing to aggressively pursue workers' comp coverage that allows our Orlando team to be Florida employees in practice. But in the interim, the Alliance must count on Georgia to provide an insurance company that will cover players.
All right,
Georgia will cover Apollo's players as long as the team spends at least 51% of its practice days on Georgia soil. Okay. According to head coach Steve Spurrier, Apollos will spend 36 days practicing in Georgia. Will bus back to Orlando for one home game on March 16th versus Arizona. They play during that stretch.
All right, now, here's what I'm envisioning. Two things. So Steve Spurrier's getting, you know, he's coming off his first game, got a lot of attention. First meeting last week, President Mike Waddell walks into his office. Hey, Steve, come in.
Hello.
Excuse me. We might not be able to make payroll Friday. We're working on some things. We got something happening here out of North Carolina with the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes? What? The Miami Hurricanes? No, the NHL team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to help us out here. So I think we're covered. I think your check will clear on Friday. We're all good. All right, thanks. Let me get back to the game film. Let me get ready for this week two game that we've got. And then today. Now, yesterday, Mike Waddell again.
Hello.
Hey, coach. Hey, ball coach. Yeah, I know we got the payroll thing. I'm glad you did your check clear? Good. Good. All right. Got another little snafu. We can't practice here anymore. What? Yeah, we gotta go to like Georgia. We gotta get a bus. Go to Georgia. Huh. We're gonna practice over there. It's an insurance issue.
Mm. Here's what Steve Spurrier said.
Yeah, what's Spurrier's reaction?
Spurrier said, quote, we tried to call some big shots in Tallahassee to get it worked out, but I never could get through to the insurance commissioner, David Altmaier.
Spurrier's making the phone calls?
Yep. We're not crazy about the setup or having to practice in Georgia, but it's all we can do when you're in a new league. Sometimes you just have to make adjustments. My big question this whole thing is, didn't Polian and Ebersol know all of this before this league was put together? I mean, you would think you're going in balls to the wall here that you have every basis covered. It's like opening a new restaurant and not having everything ready to go. That's how you get bad reviews. Word of mouth, opening night is a big deal. How do you not know this?
Well, Tom Dundon, who just saved the league with his $250 million, said that Ebersol and Polian, he was nice about it, but if you read between the lines, he said they bit off more than they can chew. They probably started the league a year too early. Probably should have done what the XFL did and taken 2 years to get their act together. They were not set up with capital the right way. He says, I'm not going to give them the entire $250 all at once. It's meant to be spread out over a while. So he's indicating this league will be viable for years now, thanks to him. But now, as you said,
they got extremely lucky.
They did.
Extremely lucky.
But Ebersol and Polian almost botched it up. And it sounds like there's some other details here that they didn't touch on, like insurance and workman's comp.
How do you not know? And I'm sure not all there. This is just for Florida. There are some states, I don't know all of them, that are like this, but the state of Florida is one where, they don't cover workman's comp for professional athletes. You have to find an insurance company. Yeah. I just don't understand how how they didn't know all this, how this information wasn't relayed, or how these players' agents didn't say, hey, what if my guy gets hurt? What happens?
Do you think they have agents? I mean, every player gets 3 years, $250,000. Yeah. Is there an agent?
Well, maybe not. But they all get the same?
That's the way I understand it, really? That everybody is paid $250,000 over 3 years.
I would still have an agent, someone to
You're only making 80 G's. You're going to give your 10%?
I don't know. But someone probably, I still have agents just from other deals that they had.
Well, they probably do NFL, because 80% of these players have played in the NFL before.
Even if they're just friends, if you just say, hey, Drew Rosen, hey, Drew's my buddy. Is this right? If I get hurt, am I okay? Am I okay?
Next question.
Can you look at the next question?
Next question. I don't want to discuss.
I just find it hard to believe that and obviously it happened because they didn't know about it.
Unbelievable.
You know what I find fascinating watching this Carolina Duke game from 1992?
Yes, when you were one.
The score is not on the screen at all times.
Oh no, that was always the case. You know,
like they had to, they like keep
every basket,
flashing it up,
or every basket, probably every 30 seconds.
Like Duke just had a turnover. Right. I don't know how much time is left in the game. I don't know what the score is.
How annoying is this for you?
This is awful.
This is how we had to live. This is how we had to live.
Paper in front of you where you continuously
you would sit there and wait and go, well, they'll probably show it in a minute. Let me hang.
Craig, how about baseball games? Back in the 70s and 80s.
To not know what the count is?
Even Monday Night Baseball.
That's got to be so frustrating.
Even Monday Night Baseball never had the score.
Here we go.
There.
Okay, Carolina's up 4 with 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go. But the score's gone now.
2 seconds.
The score's gone before you even completed reading it. If you blinked, you missed it.
The score's gone.
Because it interfered with the, blocks players.
You could thank Fox Sports for that, for the Fox box and put in the score. Yeah. That was quite a controversy.
Oh, wow.
The Fox box and the score up on the upper right-hand corner of the TV the entire game was
unheard
of. People
tried to sue ice for ocular violation. I'm telling you, people tried to sue. You're messing up my eyes.
There's a foul on the floor. They still have not shown you how much time is left in the game and what the score is.
They're more interested in not blocking Bobby Hurley.
You can read my
Bobby Scheffy's Hurley. List.
I never liked Bobby Hurley.
Of course not, because he's a Duke guard, and who likes Duke guards?
By the way,
how many good things have been said about J.J. Redick?
Redick.
Answer, none.
All right, we're late. We'll have some Sound Street. We'll preview this game, among other things. Stay with us. Just warming
John
up.
John Shire, please.
Hump Day Wednesday. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. Check them out online at OptimalMale.net. Tonight it is North Carolina and Duke. Mike Krzyzewski said that North Carolina and Duke, such a unique rivalry, and it never, never disappoints.
It's incredibly unique, and that the just the fact that you could have two of the four or five best programs in the history of sport right here, and then. The level, the programs have produced championships and excellence and pros and it's never really disappointed, the game. They're just great, great games. And so to be a part of that as a player or a coach, you should be honored to be a part of it. And, that's how I feel.
All right. On the other side, equal time. Roy Williams, not hard to get fired up for this game.
Very flattered to be part of it, a very small part of it, but flattered to be involved in it. I don't have to say too much to get our guys fired up. I'm not trying to do too many motivational things that I do a lot of times to try to make sure we're ready to play. But we got an unbelievable challenge in front of us this Wednesday night.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, Carolina has 16 road wins at Duke since Krzyzewski arrived in 80-81, twice as many as any other opponent. Wake and Maryland have 8. But North Carolina has lost 5 of the last 6 road games against the Blue Devils. However, North Carolina has 13 wins against AP number one teams, most of any team in AP poll history. 7 of those came against number one Duke.
Roy Williams with some more, and Zion Williamson on the other side. He says he's living up to the hype.
They've been pretty good for a long time. Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley, those guys, they were all pretty good too. But Zion's a different bird. There's no question about that. We tried to recruit him very, very hard. He's got a combination of skill set that I've never seen before. And there is a lot of attention, but he deserves it. He's backed it up. He's been pretty good.
You got to wonder how, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of those conversations, why he chose Duke over North Carolina. Or if he went to North Carolina, I'd be saying the same thing. What was it? It's not academics. It's not about
money.
Graduating.
Money.
What is it?
100 G's under the table?
It's not,
you don't think Carolina could pay that?
It's not distance. It's 8 miles.
You had your limit.
The campuses are 8 miles from each other.
Tonight,
what is it?
Tonight when you put the game on, you're watching four of the five, the top five draft picks in the NBA.
You
are.
Yeah.
Zion and R.J. Barrett are going to go 1-2.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get that Ja Morant from Murray State.
I was going to say Morant, the kid from Murray State.
He'll probably go three.
Yep.
Then it'll be Nasir Little from North Carolina to go number four. And then it's going to be Cam Reddish.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
That's what you're looking at. So at worst, it's four of the top six. And then you throw in there a guy like Kobe White, point guard for North Carolina, who will probably be a top 20 pick. Holy smokes. But it's loaded tonight.
But if you're Zion Williamson, you're going to get your points. You're going to be a stud no matter where you go. So I'm wondering why Duke over North Carolina or vice versa?
Is it Coach K?
Is it Coach K against Williams? Is it style of play? But style of play is not going to matter. I mean, it's
no, because both teams. I read it off to you. I mean, these teams are 1-2 in offense in the country.
So I just wonder what made him choose Duke?
Where did he grow up? Where's Zion?
South Carolina? I think it's Spartanburg. Yeah. So close to both schools, North Carolina has a great pipeline from the state of South Carolina.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of getting the best basketball players out of that state. But Duke, ever since Coach K has taken over Team USA, and he changed his recruiting method as well.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I'm going to go get the one and done.
Yeah,
I'm going to do that.
Well, he saw because Calipari was doing
Calipari was doing it,
he
right?
Started
and
it. I mean,
really his first big time one and done that really didn't see the court all that much because of a foot injury, I think, was Kyrie Irving.
Mm. You're right, right.
Didn't really see the court until you got into tournament play, but then you go and you look at the list of players, the one and dones to come out of Duke the last 5-6 years.
Huh. What did Kyrie play? 7 games? 9 games?
It's something like that. Yeah, it was.
Barely knew you.
Before getting knocked out by, I think it was Derek Williams and the Arizona Wildcats in the Sweet 16.
Wow.
Yep.
Nice memory. All right. We'll continue to talk about this game coming up as well. We'll have some college basketball later on. Joe Nardone will join us from College Basketball Today. And don't forget, baseball-wise, we'll give away some tickets to the Red Sox and Northeastern. Their spring training opener is Friday. So we'll have some tickets to that coming up. Stay with us at Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.